as a man in complete submission to the one who made him in Mary's womb. When he ascended into heaven, mankind went right back into its same old state. There wasn't a righteous man on this earth who was born righteous and died righteous. You need to understand that principle to understand what Jesus meant when he talked about the fact that he had to leave in order that the Holy Spirit could do his work. The imputing of righteousness by the Spirit. Jesus spoke to the members of the First New Testament church. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of three things. He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment." So why did Jesus say of sin? Because they believe not on me. I preached a long message on this last Sunday. And the crux of the message was simply this. Men and women are not sinners because they sin. Men and women are not sinners because they sin. They sin because they are natural born sinners from birth. And they cannot help but sin. So God does not send people to hell because they are sinners. We are all born sinners. So why does God send people to hell? He doesn't. They send themselves. Why? Because they believe not on me. That's what the Holy Spirit convicts people of. They don't go to hell because they're sinners. It's when the Lord tells them they're sinners, advises them they're sinners, and tells them they need to come to his Son so his Son can forgive them of all their sins and wash it away by their blood. They won't believe that. They think it's foolishness. They think you have to add baptism to it, or works to it, either to get it or to keep it. They go to hell because they believe not on me, Jesus said. And that's what the Holy Spirit tells me. That's what he told me. And I believed it. And I came to Christ to save me from what I am. A natural, born sinner. But I'm covered by the blood of Christ. I believe he died for all my sins, not part of them. And I don't think it's foolish to believe that he hung there on that cross, taking all my sins in his own body on the tree, and all my sins were future at that time. He died for what I am by nature, a sinner. I don't have any problem in believing that the power of God is in what he did on that cross after dying as a righteous man of sin because they believe not on me. You don't have to add anything to it. Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." He would never have said that under any circumstances if baptism had anything to do with salvation. He said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, that the cross of Christ should be made of none effect, For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which is saved, it is the power of God. I went through about four sheets of scripture to prove that last Sunday morning. Now we're going to take a look at why it was necessary for Jesus to go. The second reason. Because if he hadn't been crucified, if he hadn't been buried, if he hadn't lived a perfect life, if he hadn't been resurrected from the dead, if he wasn't sitting in heaven right now as the only righteous man who ever was born of a woman, we couldn't have any righteousness. He says of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. If I depart, I will send him to you. And what does the Holy Spirit convince me of, reprove me of? He lets me know there's only one righteous man who ever lived. He lets me know that one righteous man has been resurrected from the dead. He lets me know that I can't see him anymore, but he's sitting there in heaven waiting to intercede for me forever. Men and women don't go to hell because they don't have any righteousness. They go to hell because they won't come to Christ and receive his imputed righteousness. He's in heaven. That's why you have to be born from above. That's what born again means, from above. It has to come from Jesus above. That's the only place you're ever going to get any righteousness. You can't. An unrighteous man cannot become righteous. Only Jesus can give him righteousness. And he has to give it to him by grace through faith. Perhaps the most difficult task performed by the Spirit is to convict men and women they have absolutely no righteousness of their own. They are born with zero righteousness of their own before God and must, that's why ye must be born again, and must have his righteousness imputed to them by grace in Christ Jesus. That's the only righteousness there is. Most men and women seem to find it impossible to believe Romans 3:10. Well, who wrote Romans 3:10 through Paul? The Holy Spirit. What did it do? It reproved me that I had no righteousness. And that the only way I could have righteousness is if God gave it to me through his Son. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. You say, well, Jesus is righteous. That's right. Where is he? Show me any other man on this earth who ever lived before he came or who has lived since he came that died a righteous man. There is none. That's why the new birth has to come from above. That's why the first Adam was made a living soul, but the last Adam was made a living spirit. You're going to have to trust Jesus to do it. And no matter how hard you try, unrighteous man or unrighteous woman, to think that there is some basic or intrinsic good in you, there isn't. You can love those that love you. You can love your own children because they came from you. You can love little soft furry things and rescue them from death. You can love all sorts of things in the flesh. But you cannot love like God. And you can't be righteous like God. And Jesus is the only man who ever was. And he's in heaven right now. You want his righteousness? You're going to have to call on his name. You're going to ask him to have to ask you to save you from what you are. That's what salvation is. You don't go to hell because you're unrighteous. You go to hell because you won't receive the righteousness of God imputed to you when you call on his name, realizing he's in heaven today as the only righteous man, and trust him to do what he said. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Perhaps the prime biblical example of man believing he does have some righteousness was manifested by the Pharisee of Jesus' day. And some of you are Pharisees. You can't have a large group like this without having at least one Pharisee in it. And I guarantee you, this town is full of Pharisees, and this world is jam-packed with them. They're religious. They believe there's a God. They believe Jesus Christ is his son. But somehow, some way, the devil has convinced them that they can have their own righteousness, and they can work for it and obtain it, either before they're saved, as they're being saved, or after they're saved. And that is an ungodly blasphemy. Perhaps the most prime biblical example of man believing he does have some righteousness is manifested by the Pharisees of Jesus' day. But Jesus told his disciples that unless their righteousness was greater than that of the Pharisees, they could not enter the kingdom of God. So, if no one is born righteous before God, he said so, there's none righteous, no, not one. If no one is born righteous before God, according to God, in Romans 3:10, then how could zero be greater than zero? If the Pharisees didn't have any righteousness, then how could these men to whom he addressed this message, how could they have any righteousness? Zero equals zero. And zero is not greater than zero. Matthew 5:20. Here's what he said. And he meant it. He meant it to you and he meant it to me. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, all you've got to do is live a better life than a Pharisee did, and you can go to heaven. But there's a problem. There's none righteous, no, not one. Pharisees weren't righteous. The men that had followed him for 3 years to whom he spoke these words, they weren't righteous. They eventually followed him for 3 years. But he told them, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. They didn't have any righteousness, neither did the Pharisees. So how can zero exceed zero? The only man ever born of a woman who was righteous before God was the man Christ Jesus. And the remarkable thing about the man Christ Jesus is that he continued righteous throughout his life and died as a righteous man on the cross for all unrighteous mankind. That's why he said, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. He ascended into heaven, resurrected from the dead. He sat at the right hand of God Almighty with all the power in heaven, according to Luke. And he sat there as our intercessor, and he sat there as the man. Christ Jesus, the righteous man, only righteous man in existence today. John 16:10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Well, you don't see him. They didn't see him anymore after he ascended. So how are you saved? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've got to believe there's a living man glorified as Almighty God, sitting in heaven with all the power of God, who has the power to give you his righteousness, impute it to you, put it to your account, and allow you to go to heaven because of your faith in his righteousness, and not in your own. He has now ascended into heaven as the only righteous man, leaving the unrighteous behind him on the earth. That's what you have on this earth, unrighteous men and women. He spiritually imputes his righteousness from heaven to a man or woman by the new birth, by which he makes them righteous before God. I stand righteous before God only because of what Jesus did, and only because my faith is in his work and not in my own. and he has given me his righteousness. When Jesus looks at me, he sees the righteousness of his Son. He spiritually imputes his righteousness from heaven to a man or woman by the new birth, by which he makes them righteous before God. His imputed righteousness is the only righteousness I possess. Jesus kept the law perfectly for me because I could not keep it perfectly to be declared righteous before God. The Bible indicates if you fail in one jot and tittle of the law, you fail in it all. I could not do it. I cannot love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my mind and all my might and all my soul and my neighbor as myself. If you think you can, you're only deceiving your own self. I'm going to heaven because I have his righteousness. But I will be judged by how much of an effort I made with the power of his Spirit after salvation to obey his indwelling Spirit, and I fail daily. But I have an advocate with the Father. If I am faithful and just to confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sins, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Saved people are rewarded in heaven for how well they obeyed Christ after he saved them. He kept every jot and tittle of the law, his word, so that we who are not able to keep it as he did could have his demonstrated righteousness, he's the only man who ever did, imputed to us, thereby assuring heavenly entrance for us. Our reward when we arrive in heaven is determined by how faithful we were to keep God's commandments after we were saved by grace through faith in Christ. The verses just before Matthew 5 and 20 confirm what I just stated. I showed you Matthew 5 and 20. Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, how does zero exceed zero? That's talking about entering the kingdom of heaven. But let's take a look at the last part of this particular verse. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. Look at the verses in full. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm come not to destroy, but to fulfill. What did Jesus tell the lawyer who came to him, asking him about eternal life? He asked the lawyer, he said, what saith the law? And the answer the lawyer gave is very interesting. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy might and all thy soul and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, this do and thou shalt live. He told him that knowing he couldn't do it. There's only one man who ever did. There's only one man who ever lived that loved the Lord his God with all his heart, all his mind, all his might, and all his soul, and his neighbor as himself, and died for all of his neighbors. And that man was Jesus. You know what Jesus told that lawyer? He said, thou hast well said. He said, what you said is correct. This do and thou shalt live. What did he say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy mind, and all thy might, and all thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, this do and thou shalt live. For on this, he said, hang all the law and the prophets. Everything the prophets wrote, everything in the Bible hangs on that. Can you do it? For the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. The answer a saved person gives is no. But what does a saved person believe? Jesus said, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass, and the law will all be fulfilled. You know when it was fulfilled? By this man and his life. You know when it was over? when he hung on the cross and said, "Tetelestai, it is finished." Meaning his redemptive work was finished in the past, present, and future for all men. Okay, I accepted that. I am a sinner. I can't love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my mind, all my might, my soul, my neighbor as myself. I can't do it. God knew that. He gave the law to teach me how sinful I am. Jesus kept it perfectly. He's the only man who ever did. Well, am I to tell you not to keep the law? Am I to tell you just don't pay attention to those commandments of God? No, 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 no. Whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of God. Well, I'm going to heaven. Where is this person? He's in the kingdom of God. You think I'm going to teach people that they can keep the commandments? You think I'm going to teach them that they can keep them perfectly? You think I'm going to teach them? Go ahead and break them. Go ahead and commit adultery. Go ahead and lie. Go ahead and cheat. Go ahead and steal. No, 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 no. Because you see, if I don't teach you the righteousness of God, which is the law, how will you ever know what a sinner you are? And how will I ever know what a sinner I am? No, we don't throw the commandments out, but we recognize them for what they are. Something that God gave us that we were spiritually ignorant to show us how lost and undone and sinful we are. So yes, I teach the commandments of God. I teach men so. Why? I don't want to be called least in the kingdom of heaven. I'm going there. But I sure don't want to be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever heard me teach you to lie? Have you ever heard me teach you to bear false witness? Have you ever heard me teach you to commit adultery? Have you ever heard me not teach you not to honor your father and your mother? Have you ever heard me teach you to break one of those commandments? Have I not, for the whole time I've been here at this church, told you that God took those commandments in there and we should try desperately all of our lives to keep them, but not with the understanding that we can keep them like Jesus did, but they are God's standard of righteousness. And how well you keep those after you're saved has nothing to do with you going to heaven, but it has an awful lot to do where you live when you get there. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. The only righteousness I have, I got from Jesus. I didn't get it from keeping the law. I got it from Jesus. So why do I tell you that you should now obey the commandments of God? Do I tell you now that you're saved you can do it? God forbid. But I do tell you, you should try. Because the more you try, the more you fail, the more you see how merciful and graceful God is and what God's grace really is, that he saves you a sinner and he keeps you by his power. My righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees because I have the imputed righteousness of Christ by grace through faith. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. I believe Christ is the only man born of a woman who actually kept perfectly every jot and tittle of God's standard of righteousness, the law. And I believe when he cried out on the cross, "It is finished," it was his final complete promise to all men who would receive it that he and he alone could save them because he had kept it and was paying the price for their redemption with the perfect sinless flesh and blood of a perfect man. John 19:28-30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, he had fulfilled the law, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And not one single jot or tittle ever passed until he fulfilled it. And the requirement was met, saith I thirst. And there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished, all over, complete. I've kept the law. I've died a righteous man. Now I am qualified to be your justifier in heaven and can impute to you my righteousness. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Those who remain under the condemnation of God and end up in hell will do so because there is not a human being on this earth who has any righteousness of his own before God. None of you do. And many will not go to the only one who can impute his righteousness to them, the man who has ascended to heaven, the man Christ Jesus. Luke 18:9-20. And as he spake this parable, the certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. I would say 98% of the so-called Christian world today, the believers, believe somehow that they can have some righteousness of their own. And their faith is not in the righteousness of Christ, but either in the righteousness of Christ plus their own to obtain salvation, or after salvation to be able to continue that righteousness by somehow developing some of their own. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, the sinner, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every man that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren. You have a lot of confidence in yourself. You're real strong-willed, and you think you can just do anything. Well, then you probably think you can help God. How that not many wise men after the flesh. God's not after a bunch of men that are wise in the flesh. Not many mighty. He's not after men that think they're tall and mighty and great and can add something to his work. Not many noble. He's not after people of noble birth that look down their long, pointed religious nose at other people. Psalm 51:17. What are the sacrifices of God? Sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, now that you're saved and a member of this church, you look upon yourself now as no longer a sinner. You think you're a little different from everybody else now? You think you've got some additional righteousness of your own because you were baptized and you come to church? Brothers and sisters in Christ, the sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite spirit. Psalm 38:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Why did God do all this? 1 Corinthians 1:29-31. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He's everything. Everything. And you're nothing. And I'm nothing. Go ahead and put a bumper sticker on the back of your car that says, God didn't make no junk. It's true, God didn't make any junk. But you became junk. And I became junk. And God saves junk. He doesn't save people that think they're somebody or something. Now maybe, in your whole lifetime, you never have just come to Jesus Christ and trusted him to save you. Maybe all your life, you've trusted in yourself. Or somehow you believe some way you're going to be able in the last days or in the latter part of your life to please God because you've become a pretty good old boy or a pretty good old gal. I'm telling you, the only one who ever satisfied God was Jesus Christ as a man. And I tell you, he's going to have to save you as the glorified man Christ Jesus, who's a quickening spirit. And I'm telling you that unless you go to him and ask him to save you, you'll never be saved. Now, the good thing about salvation is you don't have to come down a church aisle to be saved. You don't have to confess your sins to me to be saved. What you have to do is realize you're totally, helplessly, utterly lost, incapable of saving yourself, and ask Jesus Christ to save you. You say, but how do I know he will? Look at what he went through to do it. Look at where he is now. And look at what he's waiting to hear from you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can be saved right where you are. I don't have to get you down here and take you down a Roman road. I don't have to show you all this stuff. God's Holy Spirit was sent here to show you that you're sinful and you need a Savior. And he was sent to show you that you're unrighteous and you've got to have Jesus. What did Jesus say? Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. Good news. He's alive. He wants to hear your prayer. If you've never come to him as a sinful human being with no righteousness of your own, ask him to save you. He'll take care of everything. Because his spirit has convicted you. And he's there to hear your prayer. As we have this silent moment of prayer, I'm going to urge you, if you need a Savior, there's only one. And if you see yourself as an unrighteous, sinful human being who stands in need of a Savior, and you're willing to put all your faith and hope in what Jesus did to save you and keep you by his power, you have to understand only this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've seen it and heard it this morning. And here's what it says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For there is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. You want to be saved right where you're sitting right now. In these next few silent moments, ask Jesus Christ to save you with the awareness that you are an unrighteous, sinful human being, and you need a Savior. Heavenly Father, thank you for showing me what a terrible sinner I am and how unrighteous I am. I thank you, Lord, that it was the love of God in Christ Jesus that your Spirit used to lead me to repentance. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing my prayers so long ago and saving me from what I am. An unrighteous, ungodly sinner. These things I ask in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. As the lights are turned on, as the song leader and pianist come, I've shown you God's word. The rest, as I always say, is a personal matter between your spirit and his. I thank God I can't save you. I thank God.